Ready? I'm Mish, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mish.
I'm ready, and I'm from Oakland. And Trisha asked me to speak today, so I'm really happy to be here. I only know a couple people in the room, so it's nice to see new faces. I've been in OA for a very long time. I came in when I was 17, and I got abstinent. I won't tell you what age I was, but it was in April 1981. So you won't be able to calculate. But you can probably guess by the gray hair. And, you know, OA saved my life. I just can't even imagine what my life would be today if I hadn't come to OA when I did and, you know, been able to get through life on life's terms without having to, you know, kill myself with food in the process. So I believe that I was born a compulsive overeater. And I say that because I just don't ever remember having any kind of normal reaction or action around food. I just don't, it was just never something that I could do. Like, my mom even told me she couldn't even feed me fast enough. Like, I would already have time to swallow the bite she was giving me and start crying before she could even get the next one into my mouth. So, I was just born with this thing, you know, and it really tortured me a lot. And, you know, grew up in a dysfunctional family, no surprise there. And food was my friend, my enemy, my reward, my punishment. And I was willing to go to any lengths for food, and I did. And there was no embarrassment too great, no humiliation too terrible for me. If there was food as part of the process, I was okay with it. And I didn't care what happened. When I'd go babysitting, I'd eat everything except the baby, you know. And I can laugh about this stuff now because, you know, I don't live like that anymore. Like, food doesn't run my life anymore like it did. I was also bulimic. I thought that was a little trick I learned when I was around 13. So I ended up being a fat bulimic because I just was still eating large quantities of food, and even if you throw it up, you can't throw it all up. So I stopped weighing around 180. And I don't know what my top weight was, because if you don't weigh yourself, then you're not fat, you know. So I just didn't get on the scale. Did all the diet clubs, you know, I paid my money, you know. Like, I go in and I'd pay my money. Now, how come I'm not thin? You know, like, well, are you following our diet? Like, well, no. Well, then you can't expect it's going to work. I'm like, oh, rats. Because, you know, I thought, you know, you pay the money and then it just happens for you. So, anyway, I came to OA in, as I said, I was still in high school. Everybody there at the time was old. Now I'm old. So, and I knew at least I was home, even though I didn't get abstinent right away. At least I knew I could stop trying all those things that didn't work, because nothing worked. And so I finally, you know, I'll just tell you real quickly what happened. I'd been in OA for a few years, and I finally took the first step. And what happened was, you know, it talks about in the big book, we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we are compulsive overeaters. And I just had so much denial around that. And I just, somehow I thought, this is how my mind works. I thought, if I could just eat one of these things, you know, binge foods, anything with sugar in it, one time, if I could just have one time, then for the rest of my life, I'll be cured. And I'll be able to have just one. So I'm like, today I'm going to do it. Today I'd have one. Well, of course, you know, once I have one, I'm off to the races, you know. And I did that time and time again. And it never occurred to me, like, oh, just if you don't have the one, then you won't keep eating that stuff. So anyway, I by the grace of God, was finally able to admit, you know, and every word is so carefully chosen, even though I don't think when they wrote the steps, that they really, like, thought about every word the way, like, but, you know, like, starts with we, you know, I'm not alone, we, you know, admitted, okay, like I had to admit that I was powerless over food, you know? That just was like, it's just food, you know why? You know, how can you be powerless over food? Well, I admitted that I am powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable. And, you know, it was that part wasn't that hard. Like, well, let's look at the record, you know? Let's look at the damage to my body, the damage to my relationships, the damage to, you know, myself. Like, yeah, it's unmanageable. And so almost immediately after that, I took step two, like, okay, well, I better start believing that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, because I really came to the conclusion that if I really am powerless over food, I'm going to need something outside of myself to, otherwise I'm just doomed, you know? And then I, you know, turned my will and my life over. And I took that, I took the third step one time with my sponsor. It says we made a decision. I made that decision 37 years. Oh, shoot. Now you guys can do the math. 37 years ago, I just picked up my 37-year chip. So anyway, I made that decision 37 years ago with my sponsor. We knelt down in my living room. I know it sounds really corny, but held hands, and we said the third step prayer. And that day is the day that I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And so I'm just timing myself here. And I go to probably, you know, fast forward. I've been through the steps, you know, many, many times. As soon as I kind of end, I start over again, because I just can never hear enough about the steps. I can never learn enough about the steps. There's always a new way to practice the steps. There's always a new situation or circumstance where, ooh, this would be a great time to do an inventory. Not of the other person, which, of course, is my first inclination, but my inventory. And so these steps are really versatile. They apply to every, so far in my life, knock on wood, I've been able to deal with every situation that has come up. And a lot of things happen in that amount of time, you know. People die, I get divorced, you know, I have a teenager, like all these things. And the steps are applicable, and the program is applicable to everything, and that I don't have to eat. Like, I don't have to use food, and I can get through it without using food. And right now, my latest thing is, you know, my mom, who's 92, she was in remission with her cancer, now it's back, and she doesn't have much more time to live, and, you know, I can be there for her, because, you know, if I'm in the food, I can't be there for anybody, and I'm not in the food today, and by the grace of God, I won't be in the food today, and I can show up for her and be there for her and experience every moment with her until she's not here anymore. And, I don't know when that'll be, and I'm praying my ass off and thinking more about her than me, you know, for once. And so I'll just say one more thing and then I'll shut up, because there's a lot of people here and I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. I was going to make the topic today either step four or step 10, because about taking inventory. Because I realized today that my resentments now really are a direct result of me taking somebody else's inventory. And, I know that. That's not like any earth-shattering thing. But what happens is I'm not perfect, and I'm no saint, for sure. And I don't work this program perfectly. And I have trouble with, like, people, places, and things still. I have trouble when I get behind the wheel of a car. It's really hard for me. That's why I don't drive very much, because I'm just kind of a jerk, you know, because people are jerks and they make me a jerk, and I don't want to be a jerk, so I walk or I ride my bike. I have a situation at work I won't bore you with, where I have my direct supervisor is difficult for me. It's very difficult for me working for her, and it's hard for me to not hate her. and it's hard for me not to take her inventory. And so I really saw, like, I almost had to, like, hit bottom on that. Like, I really saw how that is hurting me, and it's making me a jerk at work. And so I decided this week, I was really dreading going into the office, and I decided this week that I would read the four step out of the AA 12 and 12 during my morning meditation time. You know, I always read stuff because my head is like, bah! So I need the literature to ground me. And so I, every morning I read something in either step four or step 10. And man, you know, like, it just really helped me to get the focus off of her and what she's doing, and keep the focus on myself. And one good thing that came out of that, in addition to me not hating her, actually, like, this is what's crazy about it. By the time the week ended, I'm like, I kind of like my boss. Like, you know, and this is somebody I've been hating for like a year and a half. And now I'm like, hey, you know, she's okay. You know, and she's still the same. But what I, God, I just lost my train of thought. So blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So by focusing on, like, the negative stuff, I really started seeing, like, she's preventing me from doing this and that. And then when I started, like, getting the focus off of her and focusing on, like, myself and what I'm doing, I also saw, like, wow, you know, here's where I'm effective at work. Like, you know, and I start looking at all these things that I am able to do and that I have been doing and my accomplishments, because I'm not letting the negativity that I have toward her sort of seep over into, like, well, you know, negative toward myself. So anyway, you know, this program really is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm just super grateful that it works in the long run. Like, nothing worked for, you know, 37 minutes, let alone 37 days or 37 months or 37 years. Like that just, like, blows my mind in so many ways, that here I was puking my guts out every day. I was going to 7-Elevens in bad neighborhoods, you know, with an unreliable car, you know, to get something at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't care. Like, I didn't care. Shoot me. Just let me eat my whatever first, you know. And that was my life before, and I don't have that life today. I'm like a functional person for the most part. And, yeah, so anyway, keep it coming back. I need you. Thank you. Yeah.
To observe the seven anonymous is self-sufficient.